It's Tuesday, October 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. We've got a great one lined up for you today, and we're real close to our one-year anniversary. Hang on to your hats. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Todd Cochran, your host, and you are listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. And as always, for all of our long-term subscribers, thank you for staying subscribed and being part of our family, being part of our Ohana here. And for all of you that are listening to the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Of course, we've got all the podcast archives, and you want to get signed up for our mailing list. Lots of great info. You'll get the first dibs on the show notes because they'll get to your inbox and you'll have them first thing in the morning when you go to check email or whatever part of the world you may be in. You'll have them as soon as the show's released. Hey, today is as close as we're going to get to our one-year anniversary or to my one-year anniversary. You know, it was just a year ago tomorrow that I was sitting in a hotel in Texas and got the podcasting buzz. And it's been an amazing, amazing year, hasn't it, folks? You know, lots of opportunities, lots of changes. We have just come a long ways. And I was just thinking back, and I know we talked about it a little bit on the 100th show, where we've came in the last year, and what's another year or two going to bring us. There's all kinds of opportunity available, and the future is positive, my friends. It's very, very positive. And, you know, I thought today I was doing some research for what I was going to talk about tonight, I thought I'd talk a little bit about the state of the podcasting sphere and some things that have been on my mind, some concerns. And we'll go into, of course, I got a great, great lineup of technical content for you tonight, as usual. But I'm going to spend a few minutes reflecting, and then we'll get into that content. For those of you that have joined the show just recently, I want to give you a quick little background. Of course, this show is being produced out of Hawaii, and I work in the aviation industry here. And I've we've lived here now 8 years. Shoke was in the office with me tonight. She's doing some research on the computer. She's actually taking a class herself. And kids are fast asleep in bed, even the little one. So it's been an interesting evening, you know, when I got home tonight. And I had noticed on the last show that the audio quality, something was going on with the encoding. And I wasn't real happy. I haven't been real happy with the last four or five shows production. And I'm still, tonight, I got it as far as I could, and I'm going to look at it a little further during the week. But what it basically boiled down to is my son got in on my mixer board and just, you know, there's probably 30 knobs on the mixer, and then on the exterior equipment, there's probably another 10. He had every knob turned every which way possibly could be turned. So it was a good excuse to go back and rebaseline the system and make sure that it was right. And I'm not quite there yet. And even though I've got my little gouge on where all the knobs should be, some things have changed. The environment here has a little bit. So I decided, let's start at the very base and retweak all the way through. And it's not done. But send me a comment. How does the show sound tonight? Just talking about the state of the podcasting. What have we seen recently? We've seen, of course, iTunes has come on board in the last few months. We see Yahoo's launched a site. We've saw all the major sites like Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle. All these sites continue to grow and expand and offer new services and have different types of things that you can do on those sites. And podcasters are continuing to, there's a lot of new podcasters. I think we're up to like 9,000 people. So there's a lot of opportunity to find new shows, new content. You know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on, and people are being very creative, and I find that very encouraging. But as I sit back and I look at everything, and this is kind of a reflection to some of the things that are going on over at Podcaster News, my partners and I over there have been talking to national network providers who deliver media content for a living. This is their business model, because we want to make sure that from day one, Podcaster News is set and has a great infrastructure for delivering content. But along with that comes the price of bandwidth. So I started to, you know, we did the pricing out from the proposals that have been submitted to us. And, oh my goodness, bandwidth is not cheap. You know, this show is hosted over on libsyn.com, and I cannot complain. It's a great, great service. I would not be able to do what I'm doing today without that company. I really wouldn't. This show would not be able to be produced because as I done the math, on the if I had to pay regular network charges to move this program, my hosting fees on a monthly basis would be around $2,100. That's how much it would cost me to actually move all the traffic that we move on this show. So I just couldn't do it. You know, I really couldn't. You know, you guys all know I'm a dad. I got family here. You know, I've got to live, and obviously we've got the GoDaddy sponsorship and the GoToMeeting promotions, but that would not pay, nowhere near pay for the bandwidth that we would have to pay for. So I trust the folks over at Libsyn. They say their model's good. They're continuing to work. But right now we have approximately, not we, but the podcast community has approximately 2% of at least the United States population that said they have either listened or downloaded podcasts. Now, how many of them are actually regular podcast listeners is something we really don't know, okay, at this point, what that impact is. But let's look down the road 2 years. What happens when Windows comes online and has podcasting built into Windows Media Player, when IE7 is released and RSS is native and it becomes more common for people to understand how to get this type of content? You know, Apple's opened up this, you know, with the video podcasting or video casting that can be done now with people being able to create videos and put them up and have them. You know, we could download videos before and listen, watch them on our computers, but you're going to start to see a lot more videos being distributed via, it's going to come down on your podcatcher, and that is much more higher larger file sizes. So what happens when, you know, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 more million people invade the podcasting space? What's going to happen to the bandwidth issues? This is something we all have to be very concerned about, and I'm extremely concerned. And I wrote an article on the website today I think y'all should take a look at, and it boils down to this, and this is what kind of prompted some of my thought process today was an article that was in the Fortune.com, Fortune Online, talking about the inventor of BitTorrent. You know, those of us who have been podcasting, we've been lulled into this false sense of everything is okay because we've got Libsyn, and so there's some other services out there that are providing basically unlimited bandwidth for a flat rate. You know, if Libsyn came to me tomorrow and said they're going to up the fees, I would have to say no problem. You know, if I had to pay 10 times as much, I'd have to say no problem. But what are we going to do when another 20 million people come online and start listening to podcasts? I think the podcasting community has to go back and look at BitTorrent in a very aggressive way. And all the podcatcher applications that are out there need, number one, to have BitTorrent built in so it's transparent, so if the end user doesn't know. They shouldn't be told, but it needs to be so it's so simple that no one even gives it a second thought. You know, this is the best technology we have right now for moving lots of files and mitigating bandwidth charges for producers. How many podcasters would we lose today if companies like Libsyn and others went out of business and people had to start paying between 50 cents and a dollar per gigabyte for bandwidth? Sure, we've got hosting plans. You can get a 100 gigabyte hosting plan. When I started podcasting, I figured I'd give this thing 50 gigs a month. I blew through that in 3 weeks. Okay, so let's keep an eye on this. And this is kind of my long tail thought about where things are headed in podcast land or videocast land, whatever it may be. So we need to keep our eye on it. And I'd like your thoughts. And if you are a podcaster, you know, it's time to start beating the drum and looking at, you know, we were worried about the iTunes tidal wave. Look at iTunes, how it brought services to its knees. And it's kind of leveled out. But what happens when the world wakes up? And really, the world has not woke up to podcasting. The geeks and early people that are listening to shows have. So I think we need to be really, really aggressive here and making sure that we're going to be able to survive the oncoming onslaught of new listeners and the bandwidth impact. So that's kind of what my thought. Everything else is going great with podcasting. You know, lots of great content. Nothing to complain about there. And, of course, lots of great activities are going to be coming up. They're going to be announced at Podcast Expo, etc. But I am happy to say, though, tonight, you know what I talked about earlier in the, or last week, how my desk was just a disaster area. I can see desk space. I can see the actual desk, and things are cleaned up pretty good here. But I did want to just quickly go over some things we're planning for Podcast Expo. I've gotten a commitment by the Tech Podcast crew. They're going to stream the Podcast Awards ceremony that's going down, and we're going to having some live events there. We're looking forward to bringing content to all of you that can't come. And of course, there's going to be it's going to be podcasting this, podcasting that for about a week. But hey, it's our one big event of the year, so please bear with us, okay? Meanwhile, let's save you all some money. Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can. With Website Tonight, just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email, and much more. It's the complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer for my listeners, you can take an additional $5 off on any order of $30 or more if you enter the code GEEK4. That's GEEK and the number 4 when you check out. Thanks to GoDaddy for being a sponsor. On Saturday, we had our Tech Podcast Roundtable. Had a great turnout of people. I've almost got the video edited to go up on the website. And I actually was sending it up to Our Media because it's about 180 meg file. I'm going to host it over there. So we'll be dumping the show note information onto techpodcast.com in a few days. But we had a good time with everyone that showed up. And, of course, the GoToMeeting software worked great. So here's a little info on GoToMeeting. Hey, folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable to get your free trial now. You know, and I was sitting in that hotel room in Texas and recorded the first show. Little did I know that a book deal would ensue. We would launch a tech podcast network. I'd open a company called Podcast Connect. We'd be getting ready to launch the Podcaster News Network and working with some great individuals at rawvoice.com. You know, all kinds of just crazy stuff. And it's been busy, but it's been fun. And it continues to be fun. And we're just going to continue to rock and roll and have a good time. And I hope you guys all stay for the ride. And well, we'll see what happens in the next year in here at the Geek News Central podcast. But I want to thank, of course, going back to all of you, we would not be doing the show without you all tuning in, staying subscribed, etc. So thanks for being here and being with me. And of course, you can always send comments about our show to geeknews@gmail.com. And, you know, send us some review. For those of you that have been with us for a while, let us know how the show's evolved. I'd really appreciate some feedback. I've gotten some in recent days, and I do appreciate it. Now, we have, I received a few emails, and a lot of them were links to web-based applications. And if you missed the GoToMeeting, Tech Podcast Roundtable, I'm going to put some of those links up in the show notes tonight so that you can get an idea of some of the web-based applications that those of you submitted, so that you guys can kind of see a compilation of those. Also, on the next show, I'll be releasing the, or putting up a link to a OPML file with all of the top five RSS feeds that you all sent me. So we'll get those out and finished. Now, I did get a email from, let's see, I put up a link up from Jeff. He's showing me a iPod alternative that was built using a Pez dispenser. So I'll let you guys check that out. Pretty interesting article. I did get a great email from Pito. Thanks for the feedback on the website BlogBridge. And I probably put some of this info up in the link notes so that you all get a little more info on BlogBridge that we talked about before. I had to laugh today because I did get an email from Jim, one of our very long time subscribers or listeners of the show. And he said that show 18 was great and I really liked this one a lot. And he says, how do you find a time? It's a mystery to all of us. And you know, Jim has basically sent me a couple emails before saying, how do you go to school? How do you have a family? How do you podcast? How do you blog? You know, and still find time to do all the other things that are going on. I don't know, Jim. I really don't. But I fit it in. But I do. I tell you, I was telling Shoko the other night, I really need some help. I really need some employees. But yeah, when you're bootstrapping something, what can you do? You just don't have no time is what the real answer to that is. You have no time, absolutely no time left over for anything. So, but nice comment, and I did get a chuckle out of it. Okay, let's got a lot of great news and information for you tonight. I've got it all stacked up here in Feed Demon. Release candidate 1 version 1.6. So I think you've done a pretty good job with this. The only problem I'm having with Feed Demon so far, and I know you listen to the show, is I cannot for some reason get, let me see if I can find a link for you. Feedster RSS feeds are killing it. So look into that. Subscribe to some Feedster RSS search feeds and see if it's killing. It just makes the application come to a dead halt. So I don't know what's going on there. Okay, but anyway, some great articles tonight. One of those starts right off with David Siffrey's Alerts website, where he is reviewing the state of the blogosphere, October 2005. This is part one. And amazing thing, here's some quick stats from this. As of October 2005, Technorati is tracking 19.6 million weblogs. The total number of weblogs tracked continues to double about every 5 months. So think about that. Every 5 months, the number is doubling. The blogosphere is now 30 times as big as it was 3 years ago, with no signs of let-up in growth. There's about 70,000 new weblogs every day. And check this out. We're going to talk about this more later in some detail, but 2-8% of new weblogs that are created every day are fake or spam weblogs. Now, just think about that. Ponder that a little bit, and we'll get to that info later in the show. But anyway, he's got a lot of great info here. This is part one of a multi-part series he puts out on a regular basis, so I'll have that up in the show notes, of course. For those of you that are concerned about your privacy, here's something you really need to consider. Some months ago, I reported on the Geek News Central website and also talked about in this podcast how it was found out that certain laser printers were putting a laser fingerprint onto all printed documents. Being that when the printer prints a document, it puts some code into the document itself that can be looked at via a microscope. Well, the Electronic Frontier Foundation has been able to reverse engineer and be able to decipher what is being put on those documents. And here's some scary stuff, okay? It paints a faint 15x8 grid of yellow dots on every page. And you have to use a blue light to see them. But what ends up happening is it tells the date. Actually, there's a code for the date the document was printed and the serial number that the printer that it came from. This likely affects a lot of laser printers because many, many laser printers use a Canon board that is basically related to this, put this watermark on there. So the majority of laser printers out there have this watermark feature built in because of the board. So be careful, all right, and be aware that you're basically giving away your identity every time you hand out a document that is printed on a laser printer that has this these Canon boards in them, okay? In launch news today, a new site was launched called Inform over at inform.com. It's in beta, and it works only, doesn't work very well in Firefox. They have it optimized for Internet Explorer, so that's number one. They need to be smacked for that. But this is basically a site that's going to allow you to really dig down and find information that you're looking for through search terms. It tracks all types of different topics and subjects, top stories, hot channels. It talks about, it's got news overview, U.S. world, business, tech, politics, sports, entertainment. So this site is designed to track what's hot in not only the news sphere, but also in the podcast weblog sphere. I did some searches on it, played around with it. So far, so-so. If they're able to really index as much stuff as they're going to need to index to really be able to track stuff well instead of using the major news organizations, it probably has a great, great future ahead of it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this site. But good one to check out, inform.com, brand new on the street today. Now, those of you that are bloggers, you're going to want to pay attention because the weblogs.com site that was sold to VeriSign is going to be switching over to some new servers. The only thing that you're going to have to be concerned about is if you're using just a standard ping line for weblogs.com, you're going to be okay. But if you have been using a static IP, you're going to need to change that. Have the link up for you on the show notes. You want to check this out to make sure that you're going to be okay and you'll still ping weblogs.com after the crossover. Doc Searles has a great article today on his weblog. It's called Beyond Monoculture. And basically the argument that is set forth is, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a blogger that is writing an article about something that you are saying link to you directly, or just name you in his post and not provide a link? There's two camps to this, obviously. I personally think that it's best if you're going to write an article about something that I've had to say on my website that you link to me. But there are some people of the thought process that no, maybe just, you know, writing the site's name and the person that wrote the article has more value than an actual link, because ultimately, as we're doing these vanity searches for our website names and for our personal names, that we're going to find this info anyway, and people doing the same will find that also. But I don't know. We'll find. I guess there's two camps to that, but it's a great article. You guys go ahead and check that out over at Doc Searles' website, as it is always informative and thought provoking, to say the least. All right, I want to run a scenario by all of you. How would you like it if tomorrow that NPR came out on in the news and said that the only way that you'd be able to listen to any NPR-produced audio would be with a Windows Media Player? How would that set with some of you? That would probably make some of you so very angry that you would call NPR, you'd call your congressman, and demand for some sort of immediate change to this policy. Well, if you live in Norway and you want to be able to access public broadcast information that is going to be put on the internet, there are approximately 20,000 different video clips and 12 radio stations on content that's going to be put online, is going to be wrapped up in Microsoft's DRM format for the Windows Media Center. This is just bad news. And this is going to invoke all kinds of restrictions for people on users' freedom. It's terrible, because, you know, think about this. And Norwegian taxpayers have paid, you know, for these public stations and for this content. And now they're just going to add insult to injury by wrapping it up in DRM that is, you know, people are going to be forced to use Windows Media Player. Now, what if the guy's a Mac user? What's he going to do? Or even a Linux user, and they can't access this anymore. To top it off, a Microsoft employee wrote an article that was basically calling out the editor over on Boing Boing that broke this, and he's calling this guy a communist. I don't know about you folks, but this digital rights management stuff is just, I'm just about had it up to here, and I'm getting my hand beaten on my forehead, on my chin. You know, gosh. So it's a government-granted monopoly of information. think about that one a little bit. Say, well, see what would happen if that happened here in the United States. I don't think we'd stand for it. Okay, Google has a case study, an AdSense case study on the Weblogs Inc. model. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with the amount of money that Weblogs Inc., which is the same company that holds the website and Gadget and some other very popular blogs, they were at one point doing AdSense revenues of nearly $3,000 a day. So there's a little bit of a, they don't tell a lot here, but it does give you some insight into some of the things that Jason Calacanis and his team did to increase the revenues that Google AdSense was providing to them. So great insight, a lot of stuff that you're going to, you know, what Jason really needs to do, he needs to come out and tell us the formula. Just lay it out. But again, I'm sure he will never do that. But take this as for what it's worth. Take it a quick read and employ that on your own blogs and help you get some increase in Google AdSense ad revenues. Speaking of Google, many of us are concerned about their privacy policy and what they're doing with the information that they're collecting from those of us that maybe have the toolbar loaded, or if we're using Gmail or Gtalk or whatever service we're using through Google, what they're doing with that info, how they're mining it and sharing it. But they've come out with some updates saying that employees are not able to access that info, what they have strict need to know, and that they'll actually fire and prosecute employees that break that rule. So it goes into some, you know, a little more discussions on some points they've changed, but there's still some very high concerns by one of the quotes on the article says a gentleman by the name of Chris Hufnagel, senior counsel with Electronic Privacy Information Center, said the changes do nothing to diminish his worries that Google is amassing quite a trove of transaction and personal data. So, you know, like, you know, you're going to use their service. You're going to be subject to their mining of your searches and everything else. So, you know, just keep an eye on this, and they're going to update their privacy policy from time to time, but a good article on the changes that they have made. Now, I've talked a little bit already last show about the coming paradigm shift that is going to be created by the Apple iPod video, or the video iPod that's available now. And it goes into, you know, there's a lot of people starting to, you know, sit up straight in their chairs and take notice of what has happened. Primarily, affiliates of TV stations are worried about what's going to happen to their model. There are actually, the Actors Guild is getting into this saying, where's our cut? We're not getting a cut out of these videos being sold. In a sense, everyone's going to have their hand out, a percentage there, 2% there, 3% there, 4% there. I'm sure Apple anticipated this, but what happens when we just route around them? Create all this great content, and we don't have to have this Actors Guild. We don't have to worry about getting percentages back. We just rot around the establishment, create all kinds of great content, and business models are going to change, folks, because of the video iPod. It's already, you know, we knew video was going to be on the scene. It was going to be making a bigger impact. A lot of you that do video casts are saying, hey, I already, you know, Todd, you're late to the scene on this. And I knew it's been coming, but we still got the long tail to deal with bandwidth and all the other things that are going on in that space. But there is going to be a paradigm change here, okay, with TV broadcasting, how we get content, etc. You know, I've always said, I want to buy, you know, two or three channels that I watch on a regular basis. The rest of that stuff, I'm not a sports guy. I watch NASCAR, but I don't really watch any other sports. I don't need to watch. Get rid of those channels. I don't want to pay for those. Just give me what I want, you know. And a few kids' channels that we watch, and my cable bill will go down in half. But the cable company won't make no money, right? So let's route around them. Let's get it via the internet, bring it in on our media center, load it up in the DVR, and we'll get that stuff via subscription, onesie, twosie it. I save money. I'm happy. Cable company goes out of business, but so what? Evolve or die. Great. Going back to the Weblogs Inc. Sale to AOL, there is a Business Week podcast that talks about why he sold to AOL. There's also another article that talks about big media, little blogsphere. And it talks about some of the advertising things that are going on with blogs right now in relation to the sale of Weblogs Inc. So I'll let you guys check this out. And yeah, I've been kind of following some of these network type things recently, if you've noticed, and trying to build some models here myself. Hint, hint. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I found something in my referral log that came from TechDirt, where I found a link that went to a site that had required a login, looked pretty mysterious. Well, TechDirt announced today that they have a new site called TechDirt Info Advisor, and it's a solution to information overload 2.0. So this looks like a pretty cool initiative by TechDirt. I think they're going to do very well with this. I'll let you guys all check the details on their own website. This will be a not-want-to-miss article. I like what these guys do over there. They have lots of great information on a regular basis. And if you're not a subscriber to TechDirt, you need to be one, because that's one of my primary top 25 or 30 feeds that I read on a daily basis. Okay, how many of you have family members, coworkers that just do not get the spyware deal? Well, there's an article in Wired today that talks about spyware, what you need to know. What is spyware? Talks about, is spyware the same as viruses and Trojan horses? How does spyware get onto computers? How will I know if I have spyware on my machine? So go over here. This, even if you already know a lot about spyware, this may give you some resources to find some new tools to be able to make sure your machines are clean. I know that I watched that here like a hawk, and it's just an ongoing battle. Of course, those of you that are Apple users, you're kind of going, nah, 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 because we don't have that problem. But I'm hearing you're starting to have some of those problems. Not, of course, as bad as Windows is, but little by little, starting to invade your space also. So keep your eyes peeled. All right, there's, for those of you that are big Windows Media Player fans, they've got a screenshot of Windows Media Player version 11. It is off a Vista screenshot. Pretty cool. Looks they definitely are doing some work here with the interface, getting a nice facelift. Obviously, some changes to the Windows Media Library. So take a look. And, you know, they've got some things there that look sort of suspicious to me. And maybe we could see some, podcasting stuff coming into Windows Media Player 11. We'll see. We'll keep our eyes peeled. But I found this over at Addicted to Digital Media. Now, as all of you know that are podcasters, I am going to be one of the presenters at the Podcast Academy that's going down on 10 November in Ontario, California, day before the Podcast Expo starts. And currently, I'm going to be participating in, I'll be doing the session on building a podcast network. I'll be participating in the Business Roundtable. We're also going to be, we're going to be presenting our podcasting rig. So it's going to be kind of a show and tell and see who's got the biggest system, biggest, baddest system. I honestly think Doug K is going to beat us all in that category, but there we're going to talk about our setups. So we're going to be some great contents over there. Some great sessions. I'll run down this real quick. There's going to be a podcasting for mobile devices, recording Skype and phone calls, editing, mixing on PC and Macs. There's going to be the Studio Geek Out, which I already talked about. I'm going to be covering the building a podcast network. Michael Gohagan's going to go from 1:30 to 2. He's going to be talking about some things. There's going to be a session on how to get noticed. So this is important for all of you that are trying to build an audience. There's going to be a business roundtable, recording live events, and then Ask the Experts, where all of us are going to be, basically, you guys can ask the hard and fast questions that you want to know about podcasting, okay? So it's $50 for the whole day, including refreshments and a box lunch. You're not going to want to miss this, and I'll be there. You can pick my brain as much as you want. Now, when I was growing up, I never had much use for things that were dealing with foreign cultures. I guess it was just the atmosphere of where I grew up. Sure, I had some curiosity, but I really didn't study it too close. But, you know, with my wife being Japanese, I've had to learn a lot about Japanese culture. So anytime I find articles that talk about other countries' culture, I really get a kick out of reading insight into how people are different in different countries. And a lot of that boils down to even as far as homes. And I know this isn't really a tech article, but there's a link I'm going to put up in the show notes. It has a link to an article that has interior pictures of 500 Shanghai homes, all the way from paupers to billionaires, And it's just amazing, amazing amount of pictures, just the insight into how people live in China. Totally amazing. I think you guys will get a kick out of this. And you can just look at all these different types of homes that they took pictures of in China. So check that out. Now, I told you earlier that we would talk a little bit about some issues that have developed in the blogosphere in the spam blogs. And it all came to a head this weekend. There was a huge, huge influx of individuals, scrupulous individuals, that are creating spam blogs who were doing all kinds of things to disrupt some of the things that we're searching for within our RSS. Basically, I've talked about before how I set up keyword searches in PubSub, Technorati, Ice Rocket, and I find a lot of the articles via those keyword searches. Well, this weekend, many people found that their searches were turning up thousands, or not thousands, but hundreds of links from spam blogs. They basically had links to spam blogs, and it had nothing to do with, per se, Chris Perillo. So Chris went off on Google and Blogspot, primarily because Blogspot is the number one haven for these spam blogs. And the reason I say that is I've been tracking on my site the amount of this type of crap that's coming in, including trackback, comment spam, the whole nine yards. Most of it comes from Blogspot blogs. There's a lot of great Blogspot blogs out there, but Chris basically said this needs to come to an end, needs to be taken care of. Google has responded. I don't know if it's the response that all of us were looking for. They're going to be doing some things that will change that. But I love Chris. He came out with the top 10 things that Google should do to solve this issue. And I'm just going to read number one to give you the vein of the thought that Chris was portraying here so that you guys can go over there and read this. You'll get a kick out of it. Number one, employ blog spammer. Beat them, beep. Once they have been hired, hazing spammers isn't illegal, but then employ them to help you figure out what all of those beep are doing. After that, after they've told you the secrets, beat the beep out of them again. So, go over and check this out. Some, you know, it's hilarious what he's put up there. Some good ideas amongst his, how should I say, his emotional post. So, and it's a real issue. It really is. And these companies have got to get a handle on this, because at some point, and this goes back to Doc Searle's post, in that PageRank and linking to people is really high value right now. But what happens when all these spam blogs come in and they're linking to everyone and they're killing the index? What's going to happen? Is Google going to become unusable again? Dave Weiner talks about it in his on scripting.com today, too. And he says he's actually going to do a podcast about the issue. So that's one I'm going to look forward to and hear what Dave has to say. And it's true. There's a big issue. There's a big paradigm here that needs to, or some action needs to be taken by these companies to nip this in the bud in whichever way possible. Okay? 38 minutes, and we're down to, of course, the last article of the night. And what would it be a week without me talking about Robin Good's picks of the week? Someone, I'm going to send Robin an email and ask him how he gets these. He has, I believe, 10 items listed here. Some of this stuff I've never seen before. I really haven't. Where he finds this stuff, I've said it again and again and again. I bow down to this guy. He is the man. He has found, again, some great, great links. Talk about a site called ShotMapper, Cluster Maps, Flash Slideshow, a site called Gnad, Recent X, RSS Owl, Custom Scoop, RSS 2 Jabber. I knew about Custom Scoop, so there was one I knew about. And WTicker, it goes on and on. So the link will be in the show notes. You guys know where to. I know you guys are already subscribed via RSS feeds, so we don't have to worry about that. So you're already getting that feed anyway. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. I want to thank you for being subscribed and being with the show, staying with the show. It's 1 year down. How many years we got to go? Well, going to be here as long as you're here. And thanks for being here. I really do mean that. And keep the comments coming. Send your comments about the show, things you want me to talk about, to geeknews@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. My Skype list has gotten to the point where there's like 300 people in that list, and I don't know who 97% of you are. So I get instant messages from people from time to time. Hey, can you help me with this? And I'll send them a message, and I'll never hear from them again. So I'm glad you're using that. Don't all call me at once, okay, because I won't be able to answer. And if I don't answer, just leave a voicemail. Again, call that voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. I'll be back with you again with a new show on Friday. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you. No, hey, no promos tonight. Podcasters, you need some promos. geeknewspromo@gmail.com. And if you're in the Bay Area, make sure that you check out KYOU Radio. They're playing our short abridged version of this show, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So anyway, see you on Friday, folks. Aloha. Take care, and be careful out there, all right? Bye-bye.